Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ. Hello, everybody. We want to welcome you back to episode 14 of the Pastor's Porch. Today, we are going to bring you a two-part series. So today is going to be part one. Obviously, next week will be part two. But we are going to talk of the effectiveness of summer ministry in part one today. In part two next week, we're going to talk about just the building and foundation for fall ministries, of what it kind of looks like for us as pastors within the summer and the fall. And then we're going to challenge you guys as individuals and families of what summer ministries look like and looking forward to fall time and what to expect within the church and within ministries. And so we're going to gear this more towards our church today and our ministries and what we are seeing. And so if there's pastors that are on here listening or people that are attending other churches, we want you to know that that's what it is designed for these next 2 weeks of what we're discussing. But we want you to take and pray and apply some of these things that we're going to discuss to your own church. And pastors applying it to your church, and then people that are maybe attending and listening to other places, apply it in your own life and in your own church as well.
Yeah, and you know, the fun part of this for us, I guess, is realizing we're all still learning. You know, I mean, I think that one of the dangerous things that happens in ministry is we just always think we have it all right and we got it all figured out. But I think one of the blessings of the season that we're in, of the season of growth and the season of different things that is taking place, is learning, seeing what works, what is useful, what is beneficial, what grows the church. And I'm not talking about numerically in that sentence. I'm talking about spiritually in our service and in our ability to serve the Lord. And so some of the things that I want to talk about is just, you know, whether it's Vacation Bible School, whether it's church camp, whether it's Wednesday night classes or summer outreaches or fellowships at the school or feeding teachers or, you know, just effective ways to minister during this little two-month window, it seems. Maybe it's more than that, but it feels like it's about 2 months of summer. And I think sometimes there's a trap to say, well, let's just hurry and get to the fall, right? Sure. And, you know, even, and I don't want to be super critical of this, but, you know, it doesn't need to be said. There's a lot of churches that just, they say suspend, I don't even know what that means. They suspend their summer youth and they suspend summer services. And this has become kind of the trend. And I know we're going to talk about our church, but that to me is probably the way I don't want to go, right? I don't want to stop things just because it is the summer. There are certain things we do stop in our church, but I don't want to stop meeting. I don't want to stop gathering. I don't want to stop being together in the Lord. And so the first thing I would bring up of an effective thing that we see in our church, just free talking, would be Vacation Bible School.
Yeah,
and I think the model of Vacation Bible School has been given to the church as long as I've known as a way to draw people in. But just to be frank, to be clear, what I've seen that has blessed me the most about our Vacation Bible School is, yes, we've grown, and yes, we've seen families come to church through that, families come to Jesus through that. The biggest blessing that I see in Vacation Bible School is that you get to see people sign up, prepare, desire to serve who may not normally get to serve.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I was just thinking about as we were discussing this and talking about it is, you know, when I was growing up, Vacation Bible School was always during the morning time.
Right.
It was always during the morning time. And so you were limited on volunteers and different things. Mm-hmm. And so Now, what I love that we do at our church is we provide it later in the evening. So what that allows us to get is we have people that come and serve that come right from work and get to serve for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And it's one of the biggest enjoyments that I was able to witness and watch this year. And I think it was a little bit easier for you and I because we actually just got to sit back.
Wonderful.
They didn't need us necessarily in a place every night to serve. There were multiple people that didn't normally get to minister, have time put away for church time because of different jobs and different things going on, that they were here for 4 days consecutively serving.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful to watch, and it was an enjoyment. I'm sure for you, I know I'm just speaking for me, it was an enjoyment to walk around and see the tools and the giftings that people had that they were using to minister to kids during that time. And so it was beautiful for me to be able to watch and witness that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is like, you know, I don't know if we get 60 kids here or whatever, you know, I don't know the exact number. But I know that each night we probably had 40 plus volunteers. You know, that for us was almost one volunteer for every kid. I mean, to watch the age groups go where that age group had three teachers and then they would go outside and there'd be five people doing the game and there'd be, I mean, we rapped, you know?
Yeah.
That was really our only job. You guys should check that video on Facebook. It's really famous. But like really our only job was to be here and enjoy and then just, you know, help with little things and make sure things were flowing. And the joy that I got with the teenagers were leading worship and the teenagers were teaching them to dance and getting them in scripture memorization. But watching this one is the one that got me. Watching the husbands and wives serve together who normally may be extended to one end of the church or the other.
Correct.
Right? And so, like, on Sundays, my wife and I rarely serve together, right? She's usually doing something or, you know, she doesn't like to be on stage, this sort of thing. Well, but that week, we got to serve together, okay? There was some families in the church that I got to watch the husband and wife together pour into kids. Some of them in literally snack time and Bible preparation time. Some of them they took a class for the whole week. Some of them did games. Some of them did security. But the smile that I saw people serving with in that time, it was different than, and I don't want to like over spiritualize or over sensationalize it.
Sure.
It was so much different than what we typically see on a Sunday morning because people were doing different things. They weren't in this box where on Sunday morning I come in and I do this, right? It was outside of that box. And it was just absolutely a highlight. If your church doesn't have a VBS, man, find someone who's passionate about it. And even if you start with 5 or 10, it's worth it. It's absolutely 100% worth it. And that was just beautiful to me.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just
great. I think it's something the kids look forward to, too, as well, because you had kids coming in so excited every night.
Yeah.
And it gives them an identity and a purpose throughout the summer that 100%. I think they just enjoy. And,
yes.
You know, it's we've kind of joked about it, but I think it's one thing that helps us get over the summer lull.
Yeah.
You know, because just speaking, when you're a parent, that has a child in school,
right,
you get in a nice routine, sure, and rhythm from August to May.
Sure.
You just do.
Sure.
And so then it just becomes where you have this freedom during the summer and you don't really know what to expect or what's going to go on. And it kind of becomes a lull. And I always knew my mom by the end of summer was like, I'm just so ready to get back into a routine. I'm just so ready to get back into a routine.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, but that's just how we operate sometimes. And so having the kids excited about it, parents getting a break from some kids.
Yeah.
I think it's a refreshing time. And so
Well, I think it is. And I think for me, one of the greatest blessings is just simply seeing people in that element being excited about being in the house of God in a different context than what they're usually there.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so we've talked about VBS. We're going to talk about church camp on the second side of thing. And I got to lead that this year. And I think that's one thing. You know, VBS focuses on kind of the younger kids. And so
right.
we do church camp that focuses on getting older kids there. And that is one thing that I know youth students look forward to every single summer.
Yeah.
I already have youth students talking about church camp
next year. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. I mean, that's exciting to me. Like, my kids are already making plans to go back to both. You know, just last night when I was finishing my workout, my oldest son, literally the exact thing you just said, was talking to my wife about both, right? And, like, seeing both and doing both and experiencing. And he already knows things that I don't even know, like, about camp. Like, he already knows things, like, that he's planning to do. But, like, he already knows VBS. I'm like, man, you're a smart guy. But yeah, kids are, they do look forward to it, okay? And I think the reason they look forward to it is there's such a spiritual emphasis that week.
Correct.
And something Brother Tyler did that I loved is, you know, I didn't stay over there this week, and he didn't either. But when we came over there, he went around and started interviewing the kids. And something like 90% of the kids, you know, I mean, they were at a place with all the junk food you could stand, all the games you could stand, all the music you could stand, all the stinkiness you could stand.
Yes.
And it was all that. But the one thing that he said was all of them talked about the church service or experience in Jesus through worship.
Correct.
Through preaching and teaching of the word.
Correct.
And so to me, as a pastor, that blessed my heart to know that our kids, yeah, they went and had fun, but they all were touched spiritually.
Correct.
You know.
Well, I think it's an opportunity to unplug from the world and plug into Jesus.
Desperate.
And like I even told my wife as the youth pastor and going to it, I said, I know this is gonna sound crazy coming out of my mouth this way, but I said I'm excited to be forced to spend time with Jesus all week long.
Amen.
And some people may hear that and think, oh, wow, you're not spending time with Jesus. No, that's not the point. That's not the point. It forced me to take off a week of thinking about everything else and just think about these kids, think about their relationship with Jesus, be experiencing worship and freedom in my own relationship with Jesus. And it challenged me, you know, to be more like that all the time.
Whoa.
And it's effective. And I'll just be honest. I think as a church as a whole, for our church and all churches, I need to be better in the fall and early spring about creating environments that, I don't want to say mimic church camp, but creating environments for youth to specifically acknowledge and intentionally engage in their relationship with Christ. It's really easy to come in and do Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and get used to that because you're doing it all summer still, obviously. Right. But the kids, the youth, they look so forward to that summer to spend that time away and alone. And I think the church, for youth, even for adults, needs to, as a whole, do a better job of focusing a couple days in the fall and even in the early spring on creating those environments for those things to happen.
Well, all you're talking about, I mean, you know, you use yourself, you know, because you're real enough to do that, and I thank you for that, because I've lived it myself. Like, it's easy to become Martha, right? It's easy to become where we are so caught up in the housework that we forget Jesus is in the room.
Correct.
Right? And Jesus even said to Martha, you know, hey, Mary's taking the good part, right? Like, and I think that's the danger of the society we live in, of super high efficiency. If you're not up at 5 a.m. and and you haven't gone to the gym, and you haven't spent an hour in your word, and you haven't had two meetings by 10 o'clock, and you haven't got your sermon done by Thursday, then and you haven't done your 3 hours of quiet time, then you are not cut out to be in the pastor role. And I think there's a trap there just in general. What if it wasn't about fulfilling all of those things as much as it was abiding?
Correct.
And I think that's the blessing of church camp, right? Is you get to abide.
Yeah.
And the presence.
The whole focus is relationships with students who want relationships with Jesus.
Right. And so we, like you said, the fall, the spring, we, you know, and we can kind of talk about this in the next part, but one of the things that we should see is grab opportunities. It's harder. Kids are back in school. School takes so much time. Ball
Correct.
Starts. These Correct. Sort of things. Right? So, but what can we do, right? My good friend Ron Harris, it's so funny you bring this up because he said that he taught me this years ago, and this is such a nugget of wisdom, whether you're serving, whether you're leading, whether you're teaching, whether you're whatever it is you do in the church, just remember this. He said, I can't do anything with the time that you don't have, right? But I can do a lot with the time you do have. And I think so many people are so afraid to serve. Let's just take serving, for example, because, oh, two weeks a month I work, right? Well, those 2 weeks a month you work, okay. I mean, nothing we can do about it. Your boss schedules you to work on those days.
Correct.
I can't change that. But what about the 2 weeks you do have? Are you making it a priority to be in the house of God? Are you making it a priority to do what God's told you to do? And I think that's really what it comes down to is, what do you do with the time you do have? And so I would just encourage anybody listening to this of remember the blessing of being Mary, right? And not always focusing on being Martha.
Yeah.
You know, that's the blessing of church camp.
And one thing that I think the Lord really taught me through this summer too is all churches, it's just the fact, all churches lose some of their population through the summer months.
Sure.
It's because people are on vacation, people right. seeing family, doing different things. It's just a fact. And a lot of pastors and leaders take that and just kind of sit in that lull and don't do anything about it. But what the Lord's really been working with me on this summer is, if you continue to be intentional with individuals throughout the process of that, growth is still going to happen.
Yeah.
And I can look at our church and our youth group and just look at that be a reality. I think there are, and this isn't a bad thing, so don't misunderstand when I'm about to say this, there are kids who have left our youth group for different reasons.
Right.
Some good, some bad, some indifferent. And, you know, you think about some of those things. You think, well, we keep losing people. But then I just look and think of what we've gained. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just changed our services for youth to Sunday nights. And our first Sunday night, we had 24 kids.
Yeah.
And it was
down the door to get in, bro.
Literally beating down the door. I said doors don't open till 5 o'clock and everybody was here at 4:45.
It was beating down the door.
And, it was humbling, and it was it has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with individuals, but it has everything to do with when you become intentional in those moments instead of just sitting in that lawlessness of, well, we just keep losing people. Well, you got to be proactive and try to do something.
Yeah.
And we don't have the best facilities.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but those kids don't have the best youth pastor. I'm not the best youth pastor. But the point is that when we seek to be intentional with reaching those relationships and not allowing the events that we do to be the end-all be-all, I think that's what helps us get through it. And I know, and you just what you said is, we get so worried about trying to have a workout done and have 3 hours spent in the Word, and we get so... we get so scheduled focused that we can even take that same mentality to our VBS or our church camp, that we're only expecting the move of God during these 4 days that we're at VBS or during these 5 days that we're at church camp. Is no, that should be the foundation. That should be building blocks for having these relationships and being intentional. And it leads into discipleship. It leads into discipling all throughout the summer, all throughout the year, and that intentionality of relationships throughout the entire year. But I think it helps build through the summer months into the fall.
Yeah, and I think for me, I guess this is my fifth year now, looking at the summer as a pastor, the way that I would look at it the most, I kind of correlate it back to working out, right? You can't work out 7 days a week, the same muscle, I should say. You can't work the same muscle nonstop. There has to be a time of rest. And I think for the summer, I mean, I have friends that take 2 and 3 and 4 weeks off. I mean, I took a couple weeks off this summer, and it was probably the healthiest thing I've done in a couple of years, just to be honest. There's families in that same boat, you know, that they may go 50 weeks a year, full tilt, you know, doing things, and then maybe they only get 2 weeks in the summer, and they take those 2 weeks, you know. And I think so, I think we try to make that a discouragement, and we forget how much Jesus commands us to rest.
Correct.
You know, and I think the enemy wants to use the summer as a time of discouragement for ministers.
Sure.
And I think, you know, that's why it's easy to look at the VBSs and the camps and be like, those are amazing, you know. But I just continually want to remind you that you had 20-something kids at a Sunday night service, literally beating down the door early to get in.
Yeah.
You know, you had my kids coming out of a car after 14, 15 hours, didn't want to be anywhere else in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we just got to remind ourselves there's a balance, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
There's always a balance. And so for me, I guess it's when I first kind of started to walk this road, I saw why pastors would get discouraged. And then I'm reminded, like, you know, how many times did Jesus go away with a couple, right? You know, how many times did Jesus go away with a smaller crowd? You know, he had time when there was thousands, and he had time when there was, 12, and then he had times when there was 2, you know? And so I'm just reminded that don't waste it.
Correct.
It's not discouragement. Like you said, relationships, you know, like the Bible study we had this morning, nobody had to be there. That wasn't a scheduled church service. That was just us 8 or 10 guys that are in this group together that we say, hey, we're going to just sit and be with each other. Well, man, that was like a cool drink of water to my soul.
Sure.
This morning. And so that's the area where these things really begin to grow. And what I mean by these things is these moves of God.
Correct.
Because I'm looking, and we'll get into it in the next episode, but I'm looking beyond the summer, right? Like, the summer's great. Use those things. Use the camps. Use the vacation Bible school. Use those things, like you said, as building blocks. But where we're trying to really get to is that intimate relationship that we talked about this morning in 1 Timothy 5, of balancing one another in this wild, crazy world.
Correct.
You know, if I had advice for anyone in the summertime, it would be just those things we talked about. Utilize those things in the church that are blessings, you know. See them as a blessing.
Yeah.
But remember to build on those blocks of rest.
Yeah.
Build on those blocks.
Well, and I want to speak to something. You know, you're talking about the restful state, because we can kind of get a wrong thought about this as pastors, and then you can get a wrong thought about this as members within the church. Is we think we have to be in the church service. Yeah. In the church house every Sunday and every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I've grown in my own relationship. I mean, that's law. And that's like an expectation from people that is put on us that for us to be perfect, we have to be in church.
Yeah.
Man, some of the greatest rest and some of the greatest moments I've had in my relationship with Christ haven't been in the church service.
Yeah.
And there's this wrong impression, and we're guilty of it as pastors, expecting our members to be in church every Sunday.
Yeah.
We want that for them, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
And I've been wrong in even when I am not feeling well, and even when I don't want to go to church, I still go to church because I think the Lord is going to think less of me for not going.
Right.
But I want to just speak to that lie today is, listen, like, if you need rest, if you need to take time away from being in the church for resting and for rejuvenating and for being ministered to and touched by the Lord, take it.
Take it.
Take it. And that is one thing that just how I was raised, my family thought that's what it was, and I was raised in a pastor's home. And if you ask my parents today that if they think they need to be in the church every single Sunday morning, they're going to give you a different thought than they did 15 years ago.
Right.
And because they've grown in their relationship, and we've realized that it was a very religious ideology that you had to be at church every time the doors were open. Now, understand, you should also have a heart to want to be in church.
Yeah.
And a heart to serve.
That's the second part. Yeah.
You do need to have that. But waking up a Sunday morning and wanting to be refreshed just by sitting in your recliner, drinking a cup of coffee and reading the word on your own versus going to church, there's nothing wrong with that. But you should have fellowship in the church house as well.
I wrote about this in my book, Be There. I wrote about this. So I wrote about the three different stages, right, of being in church. And I compared it to cooking meat, right? Like, I'm just a guy that likes to barbecue some, right? And so I compared it to cooking meat, right? And so there's three different levels of meat. You know, there's overdone, you know, which is that religious side that you're talking about where you can't take a Sunday off when you have the cold, right? Like, you got a cold.
Correct.
And you can't sit at home because someone might think less of you for not being in church. That's what we would call overdone, right? And then there's the underdone, where you miss church for a month and you don't even care, right?
Correct.
And
that's
also a problem. It's a
scary place to be.
Sure. I mean, but then there's that perfect temperature in which the meat is perfectly cooked and everything is right about it, and that is called relationship, and that's balance, right? And so you have to find that balance. Like, when we went to, I just tell you, while I was gone from the church for those couple weeks when it was church camp and vacation and I was just kind of out of pocket for a couple weeks, I missed the people, okay? I didn't stop worshiping. I had
exactly.
Church. We had church in a hotel room. We had church at the condo. We had church on the beach. We had church in the car. I was able to teach my kids, you know, somehow, I don't know how, but none of my kids knew the story of Philip in Acts chapter 8, or they had forgotten it. So one day, driving down the road, we had like an hour-long sermon presentation on Philip going to the eunuch, mm-hmm. and Acts chapter 8 there, the end of Acts 8. And so we had that church, and we worshiped, and we talked about God's word, and they took turns reading it, and I was able to preach it, you know, and we were just driving down the highway. Well, I didn't miss my time with God and my time in the Word. But I can tell you something. When I was in here the other night, my first night back, to be able to be in the house of God with those 80 or 90 on Wednesday night, it brought me to tears to be in corporate worship.
Yes.
And as we prayed for one another. And so I would caution you, yes, I agree with you 100% on what you said about, yes, man, if you need to sit in the recliner, do it. If you need to go visit your family, go do it. You need to go sit on the beach, go do it. You need to go sit in the wood, whatever it may be. You go sit by the river. You just need a Sunday off to lay in bed. You do it. But there should be a longing.
Absolutely.
For the things of God.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have that longing, that's...
Forsake not the assembling.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I used to tell people during COVID, right? And this is, people got so mad at me, but this is what I said. I said, you know, hey, you've gone back to everything in the world. You know, you've gone to the restaurant, you've gone to school, you've gone to all these places, but you don't come to church, and then you sit around and act like your problem's with the church. Well, your problem's not with the church.
Correct.
Your problem's with God.
Yeah.
Oh, I got messages on that one.
Oh, I know.
because people wanted to go back to the restaurant, right, and
sure.
go sit 12 feet apart at a restaurant, but they wouldn't come to church. And so I just said, you know, your problem's not with church. It's with the Lord.
No.
I was not a popular man. But it's very true. And it's the same thing we're talking about.
It is.
Relationship gives freedom.
Correct.
And if you have that real relationship with Jesus, whether it's VBS, whether it's church camp, whether it's small groups, whether it's, we did some of the things at the park throughout the summer, community events, serving hamburgers in that little bitty box of a room where we did that was like the craziest thing ever. But we were doing that in the love of Jesus.
Yep.
As a service to our community. You know, I think about the backpack thing we're going to do here pretty soon. That's a blessing. And I think people get so caught up in the Sunday morning experience.
Correct.
They can't see how putting a backpack in a kid's hand and praying a blessing over them for the school year is just as holy.
It's just as effective.
It's just as effective.
And that's what we're talking about is the
going to this absolutely. Place or going to that place. And,
absolutely.
I mean, Jesus says where two or three are gathered, am I not there?
Correct.
You know? Because we're going to gather in his name at the park.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I just think we put Jesus in such a box. We put the Holy Spirit in such a box as if he's only confined to the walls of this building.
Correct.
And that's just not the case.
No. It's not the case. And there's importance of going outside these walls too.
Yeah.
And so there's, especially during the summer, like we've seen it be effective for our church.
Absolutely.
And obviously our design is not going to be for everybody.
Right.
And that's okay. It's not supposed to be. But there's importance of staying engaged and staying connected in the summer and understanding what's working and what's not working. We wanted to just talk about this today to kind of explain and show our hearts of what's been effective for our church and maybe give some ideas to other pastors and other leaders and other family members. But it's kind of crazy that we talk about this, but we have to kind of keep our congregation engaged throughout the summer.
Yeah.
It's partly by design of how our world and everything is. At this, but hopefully you guys learned something of the effect of what our ministry looks like within our church throughout the summer, and you can take it and apply it the rest of this summer, the rest of the short freedoms that we have before school year starts for some, but then maybe even just taking some advices and some things to learn in the future. And so stay tuned for next week as we talk about looking forward into the fall and what some things that we're going to do and some things that we look forward to for fall ministries and some kickoffs of some different things. Tune into that next week. But we want to thank you guys for listening to the Pastor's Porch today. God bless you guys and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.